USAopoly is the company behind your favorite top quality custom board games made with brands you love. They're your source for authentic hot pop culture board games and puzzles. They also create award-winning tabletop experiences that will keep your game nights fully entertained with laughter and shareable memories. For more details, go to USAopoly.com. That's USAOPOLY.com.
DC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your kennel with you.
The city needs saving.
What happened to you? The right to remain silent?
I'm not a cop anymore.
I'm in the future.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You two will become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
What is up, guys? Welcome. You're listening to DC on CW, the Flash Edition on Rayman Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile. Download that Rayman Digital app. That's available on the iTunes App Store and the Google Play Store. You just got to search Rayman Digital. You can also find us on demand, iTunes and Stitcher. Search DC on CW, same thing. Once you get there, leave us a review. It helps the show out tremendously. I know I say that every episode, but it is true. As always, I am your show host, Ryan Denton, and in the studio with me today is Stephen Crouch.
Yo.
And we don't have Bobby today, but we've got Mike, and Mike's turning his mic on. Hey, what do you know? Michael Flores is in the house too as well. So today we will be breaking down and discussing Flash Season 4, Episode 6, When Harry Met Harry. Wells uses his friends to help, let's air quote friends, to help find the thinker as Barry gives Ralph a crash course in Superhero 101. This was a fun episode. Ralph is starting to kind of grow on me a little bit. I'm starting to like that character.
Yeah.
A whole hell of a lot more than when we were first introduced to him. So, very, very, fun episode. They had some pretty good jokes, in this one. They also, have you noticed the play on words with most of the titles for the episodes this season?
Yeah.
Which is good. I think they did a good job with that. Typically those are just kind of teasers or whatever to make you laugh or giggle, but they've done a good job lately, at least with the, with those names or episode names. So, with that, let's go ahead and jump into some news. We've got an article here, and this is actually pretty cool. The article is the concept art for the season, for the Flash season 3 reveals what we almost had a completely different and armored Flash suit. Now, this is, in the article here, this was written, this post is Andy Poon Design. He actually does a lot of the, concept art for, Flash. And, this was pretty neat. So it's fair to say that Barry Allen has undergone quite a few transformations since the Flash first sped its way into our screens back in 2014. With each air quote rebirth has come a new suit. The CW's iteration of the character is renowned for his trademark leather maroon outfit with an accompanying lightning bolt on the symbol, lightning bolt symbol. And while the suit has changed over the years, all the variations have maintained these important characteristics. However, a brand new piece of concept art from has revealed that it almost changed significantly at one point during the show's run. Concept artist Andy Poon took to social media, by the way, it's a great name, took to social media to reveal a previously unseen armored Flash costume that didn't quite make the cut. And it's really cool, man. I actually dig it. I would have been okay with this.
It reminds me of Injustice a little bit.
It does.
Video games.
Yeah, it really does look Injustice. The neckline and everything is kind of like built into the shoulders. I'm not sure if Bob had posted this on our page, but I'll get him to post this up for us. That way you guys can see it. The listeners can see it too. too. It's pretty damn cool. And his, so Andy, this is basically a shot from Instagram. And it says the bust of one of the earlier concepts of the new Flash shoot I did during season 3 that has more of an armored feel. We eventually went back to a more iconic and true to comic book look, but I really like the lenses. So I'm glad they gave him, one of the lenses upgrade in the second episode of season 4. It's great. The costume designer Maya Mani allows me to explore some of these crazier ideas and then helps wrangle me back to the zone where I don't go full fanboy on the design. I mean, that's pretty cool, man. I do love seeing the concept art stuff. This is pretty neat though. I would have really been into this costume.
You think they, went a different direction because of the film?
You know, possibly. I mean, the film, the difference with the film's look is it is an armored look, but it's very, it looks almost like plates, if that makes sense. Yeah. It's not all integrated into one piece. And I actually dig at first I didn't like the film's costume, but when I saw it in person, I was like, oh, I really dig this. I think it just seeing it in person really was cool. And, you know, maybe they went a different route. Ultimately the problem with these armored ones too, and this is the same thing that happened in like, dude, Batman. How does he turn his neck?
Oh, this one in particular, there's no way he's moving.
He's not moving his neck. And I think that was one of the biggest things. That's why in Dark Knight, you know, they changed the original Batman Begins cowl to, you know, the Dark Knight cowl so he could turn his head. It just didn't make sense. You know, you have to turn your shoulders, you know, and everything to move. So I think this is a really cool design. I totally would have been into it. And I think it was cool. And I'm glad they actually did the lenses. I do like the lenses too as well, that they did. But I think this costume, again, would have been cool, would have dug it. But in the end, I do like what they went with too as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
Do you think they were contemplating going armor because of Justice League?
You know, that's the thing. I mean, that's kind of the point that Steve brought up. And it's like, I don't know.
Mike brings up a good point. Maybe they were going that route, something along the way. They were hoping to tie into it, maybe not directly, but something. And I don't know.
Or maybe they were just trying to say, hey, you know what? Our costume looks cool too.
Yeah.
I mean, if I really had to weigh both costumes against each other, I mean, I much prefer Grant's suit.
Really?
For sure. But I also, after seeing Justice League, I really love Ezra Miller as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that the suit has grown on me and it makes more sense for the type of character that he is.
Yeah.
But no, this is, this would have been a really, really neat iteration. And, you know, hopefully we'll see Barry in another suit. Like, let's be completely honest in the show. Like, it'll happen again, dude. They'll change it again. They have to. At least that's what they've been doing. So the other news that we're going to talk about here, and it's just real quick here. This is about the DC on CW crossover. So, yes, we know that there is a 4-part crossover for the DC shows on CW, but DC on CW is also doing a crossover. We're doing a 2-part crossover. The biggest news that comes out of that 2-part crossover is the fact that I, myself, Ryan Denton, will be on a Supergirl episode.
Dun,
dun, dun.
Are you going to inject yourself some estrogen?
No, I think exactly what I'm going to do is take some Vicodin and then just be completely out of it the whole time. Just drool all over myself while I'm like not paying attention.
Mike, did you watch this week's episode
of
Supergirl?
No.
Oh,
yeah. See,
I'm behind. I do watch it, but
it is so well written, man. All they have these two characters.
Dude, this is, hey, you know, this is the Flash edition, right?
I know, but there's two. Two cast members that they cast for Kara and her sister, and they nailed it, man. Ryan, you need to watch it.
I'm good.
He'll never watch it now at this point because he's just stubborn.
Yeah.
Like he does this on every show we do. He gets something stuck in his mind and in his head.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mike.
And honestly, there's a part of me that thinks Ryan would probably want to watch Supergirl, but because he has said no, he will not.
He's holding the line.
Yeah. I'm not doing it, dude. I'm not watching it. The only time I'll ever watch it. The only time I'll ever watch it is in this crossover.
I'm glad you're not my dad, man. You would like never give me any second chances. Like,
nope,
I said 9 p.m. is your bedtime. No deals.
Oh, yeah, dude. There'd be no dice, dude. You know, when I finally do have kids, man, it's going to be a strict household.
Little soldiers?
Yeah, boy. Absolutely.
You're going to shoot them with little paintball pebbles?
Yeah, I'm going to be like, yo, I told you to take the trash out.
Not even one shot of shit.
Yeah, a lot of
shit. I know. I was thinking just one little warning shot. Nah, you just unloaded.
You're getting half a mag.
Jesus.
The thing, like, so I'm again. Look, I'm excited for the crossover. From what they've talked about on CW, it looks like it's going to be a really, really cool crossover. Actually, today I was swiping through Instagram and Echo, Mr. Terrific, posted this really awesome shot of everyone lined up together while they were shooting in costume. Like, it looked really cool. And one of the standout things about it was Captain Cold was wearing a very much a comic book version of Captain Cold. Like, he had the fluffy jacket, and he had the hood up, and he had the glasses, like the slate glasses like he has in the comic book.
Yeah.
So again, I'm really excited. I am excited to be on Supergirl, as much as I like to talk shit. It's going to be a fun ride. And yeah, I mean, I think Lauren will be doing, she'll be doing, a Supergirl, as the lead host, and I think, Flash. And then I'll be doing Arrow and Legends, I think, I'm probably wrong, and Bobby will make fun of me for getting that wrong. I'm sure I'm wrong. Bobby will kill me for getting that wrong, but you know.
Okay. So Supergirl and Arrow will be together.
Right. But Lauren will be the lead host.
Right. On Supergirl. Yeah.
So I got Arrow and Flash mixed up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's it. Watch Bobby send me a message now.
That's wrong too. God, you're stupid. that's how Bobby talks to us, like we're ignorant. But yeah, it'll be fun. I think we'll have a good time, and you know, we finally are getting a true four-part crossover, so I'm excited. I mean, the Supergirl cross will be great because Barry and Oliver will be in it, so you know,
that's true,
right? I mean, yeah it's already gonna be good. So anyways, guys, with that, that's gonna do it for news. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna delve right into the episode, Flash season 4 episode 6, When Harry Met Harry. But first, a quick break. You want me to just read this Patreon thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'll come in. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what?
Dude, did you know that the Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service?
Tell me about it, Ryan.
Dude, that's right. So besides the weekly free broadcast, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service. And when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber, dude.
That's amazing.
Dude, it's easy. It's cake. The premium service includes video content, plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek From the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, this show, DC on CW, Supernatural The Crossroads, and more. So head over to patreon.com/RainManDigital and sign up today. Dude, I'm telling you right now, the exclusive stuff, I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff in there that you can check out, guys. You know, behind the scenes, unboxings, USAopoly stuff, all kinds of things for you guys. So go over to RainManDigital.com, Patreon, check it out. All right, guys, we are back. And in this episode or this segment here, we're going to talk about Flash Season 4, Episode 6, When Harry Met Harry. Now, this one was directed by Brent Crowell, written by Jonathan Butler and Gabriel Garza. That might be the first time or maybe second time I've gotten, you know.
I was going to say something, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah, that's a pretty big feat for me to get those right. So, basically this episode is Barry basically taking Ralph on superhero 101 job training. I mean, that's essentially what we're getting
it's
here.
It's like Training Day.
Like Training Day, just less, you know, Denzel. I guess is the right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I guess Ralph did learn today, just not in a very cold hearted way. You know, last episode we talked about, and we've done it actually multiple episodes, what kind of superhero would we be if we were given power? And, you know, we always use that line from Superman or from Spider-Man, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And I think, you know, this episode really did kind of put that in perspective. You know, this week we see, having power isn't always automatically make you that awesome. Like you don't become super, because you get powers. Oh. You know, and let's jump that back to Barry. I mean, like Barry is the way he is because of his upbringing. It has nothing to do with his powers.
No, he's got a good moral compass and
he just was brought up the right way, yeah. You know, with Joe and everything about that makes Barry Allen, Barry Allen in the show. And, you know, it's not something that, you know, you see it in the comic books, but it's not as prevalent, I guess, as we see it in the show with Papa Joe and everything and, you know, his upbringing. But you really see that that's what makes Barry or the Flash is that he has, like you said, he has a really good moral compass. And it's hard. I mean, it's, if you don't have that type of upbringing, what kind of superhero are you going to be? And we see that with Ralph.
Yeah.
You know, he just, he doesn't get it at first. He doesn't understand that there's more important things to being a superhero than just getting the bad guy. And I think that was the, one of the things they really tried to push on us in this episode, was showing that learning curve of Ralph learning how to be, you know, essentially elongated man without the collateral damage, I guess is the right way to describe it. And you can really see the difference in the attitude between, you know, Ralph in the beginning, you know, in the beginner course of basically when that, the mugger comes up right in the opening of the episode to Barry and him, where he's basically shooting the dude. Like, if you really think about it, it's his fault.
Well, kind of.
A little bit. But I mean, if you look at his reaction, he's like, oh, cool, we took care of it.
Well, here's what was bothering me that whole time. He was a cop.
Right.
The guy was a cop. It should be his first order of business. Now, granted, he was taken off the force and all that good stuff, but he was trained as a cop to serve and protect. And he should know that, powers or not, but clearly he needed a reminder.
He needed a refresher because, you know, I guess being a PI makes you a scumbag at some point.
Yeah, he was a douche.
Douche would be the best word for it. I mean, you just see the difference in the attitudes. You see Barry, who's like, oh, shit, dude, he's hurt. This guy's hurt, even though he was the mugger. And Ralph was like,
he didn't care.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, whatever. You know, let me finish my coffee. Like, it just seemed like a, you know, it was the polar opposites, I guess, is the mm-hmm. best way. And you see Barry care. You know, the dude gets shot. He gets shot twice, once in the leg and once in the ass. And Barry's like, I'm going to take this guy to the hospital.
But didn't even worry that the guy saw his face or nothing, but I'm just going to rush him there straight away.
You know, I was going to mention that, but like in the end, dude, like
you the guy changed clothes on the way.
Yeah, dude. Like, honestly, the guy was so in shock and like there's probably no way he would remember.
He had a bullet in his ass.
Yeah, dude. I'm not going to lie, dude. I don't want to get shot. I'm not going to like the last thing I'm going to care about is someone carrying me to the hospital when my ass like hurts like that. Like, I don't know, man. They really portrayed Ralph as being someone who
cold.
Just cold. Yeah. And I think it made sense. It truly did make sense for what they were going with for him learning.
Yeah. He's got to have an arc.
There's got to be an arc here. There's got to be character development. And I think this is a very good episode in that because, like I said, I'm really starting to dig. I dig this character and I think it's going somewhere, hopefully, that would add to the team. If that makes sense. And I think we need a character like this. Someone, I mean, we've got Cisco and I wouldn't even consider Ralph comedic relief, but it also adds to the universe. I mean,
there's a yin and yang thing going on between the two of them. That's what I appreciate is he will eventually, I think, come around, you know, fully, but for right now it's creating a nice dynamic between the two. And it's kind of like a coach, you know, Barry's coaching him.
Yeah. Barry's his, you know, his coach. And I think, you know, one of the things that they really pushed on in this episode with this character and with the character building is just how obsessed he is with catching bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's, and let's, let me preface here, guys. That's not a bad trait to have for someone who is going to be a superhero or wants to be a superhero or is basically forced into being a superhero with your powers is, that's not a bad trait to have. The problem with that trait, though, is you become blinded by your obsession of catching bad guys. And being blinded like that really stops you from focusing on what it really means to be a superhero.
He's got tunnel vision.
He has tunnel vision. And that's the thing. Barry doesn't. Barry, you know, for the lack of a better word, has his head on a swivel.
Mm-hmm.
Barry sees everything that's going on. And that's what makes Barry the Flash.
Well, and he's had to grow that himself over time, and he's screwed up multiple times and got back on course, and so he can use that experience, and he's hoping that Ralph will pay attention, right? And I have this experience, just shadow me.
Right. Well, I think, too, you know, Barry has had education in multiple different ways. You know, his upbringing, being around Oliver. Oliver is incredibly obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
He's a very obsessed person, and I think Barry has seen all the different types of personalities that go with what he's doing. And I think he knows better. And that's why he knows, and that's why he's the Flash. He's really good at being the Flash, obviously, besides screwing up timelines, which he's really bad at.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, Ralph hasn't learned yet. He's as green as possible. You know, and I think showing how obsessed he is with catching bad guys is a good thing. You know, it goes, well, he does care. You know, he doesn't not care. Right. So again, I think, this was a really cool, way. And it kind of goes along with his personality. I mean, he was fired for going, basically planting evidence, but for a good cause, because he was obsessed with getting that, catching that bad guy.
Hell bent
on catching that bad guy. I mean, hell, he was fired for trying to get a bad guy to go to jail, you know? And here's the thing, like, guys, I'm not condoning, you know, planting evidence or being crooked. And I don't even consider that being crooked, to be completely honest. If the guy is truly, you know, it's the whole Dexter syndrome, you know, is that guy truly bad? Okay. He truly is. Okay. I don't have a problem with him seeing justice. So this is one of those things, man. They showed some really good depth with this character, and they showed just how passionate he is about justice, I guess would be the right word to use. One of the best scenes in the whole episode was the hypnosis scene.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that it was like, oh, this hypnosis mumbo jumbo isn't going to work on me. And then out.
I wasn't expecting when they asked if they knew a hypnotist that they would end up back at the therapist.
That was really good, dude. That scene made me laugh when the therapist popped up. It's like, oh man, that's great. It would be like, the only thing I kind of wish they would have like had the therapist like ask, like, what does this have to do with
your marriage counseling?
Like, what does this have to do with it?
Do you have a tryst going on?
Yeah.
Now?
What is this? Is this a menage a trois? This a threes company type situation here, only reversed with two guys. No, I thought it was funny. The scene was really well done. Especially too, when like he wakes up and he's like, wait, how'd you get over there? Like that was pretty good. So again, they really showed some really good development with Ralph, and his character in this episode. And we see it more too with the meta. So again, we get the meta, basically a meta of the week. Mina Chaitin is her name, or Black Bison. Now, Black Bison in the comic books was a Native American supervillain and an enemy to Firestorm. So they pulled a villain from Firestorm. Now the difference is I believe in the comic book, it was a man.
Yeah.
But the kind of the story behind, Black Bison is when his great grandfather, Bison Black as Midnight Sky is killed, he is possessed by the old man's angry spirit. This leads him to take revenge on those who have wronged the Native American people. Now, do we know when his first appearance was? Because I want to see, like, so one of the things about these old comics.
Firestorm. 82.
Firestorm 82. So,
well, no. Firestorm Volume 2, Number 1, but it back in 1982.
1982. Okay. Yep. So not that long ago. I mean, it is, yes, that is long ago, but not that long
ago. Not that long.
It's one of those things, man. A lot of these characters, man, they really, back in like the 70s and the 80s, they really had this like super like racial vibe, like naming characters like Black Bison and then like having him like, oh, you wrong Native American people. Like it was just, there was so much like undertone, like, racism.
Well, and they make that a focus of the plot line, right? I mean, yeah. She kind of brings that up of misappropriation and
which was smart of them. I mean, yeah. Well, that's one of the things with the CW shows on or the DC shows on CW is that they're really good about hitting some of that stuff. I mean, some of the agendas that they've hit recently, I've kind of rolled my eyes, but at the end of the day, didn't ruin the episode. This one was really good. I really liked this character. Not to mention the chick that played her is super hot. Which always
I've never seen her before. And honestly, I didn't know anything about this character until I saw. But in looking it up, kind of a deep cut as far as I'm concerned. I guess if you're a Firestorm fan, you immediately would recognize it. But
yeah,
for me, it was a deep cut.
I mean, guys, like we've said it before, like we don't know everything there is to know about these DC characters. And be completely honest, you know. This was a brand new character for me as well. Like I never heard of Black Bison. And I'm going to guess that this is a very low tier, even for Firestorm. I mean,
yeah.
Can you even name a Firestorm bad guy off the top of your head?
No,
exactly. So again, as much as we like to pretend like we're, uber duber nerds, at the end of the day, we don't know half the shit.
Well, I think that's what makes it fun too for us.
We get to look it up and we learn at the same time, which is always nice. One of the things I did like was, if you look up Black Bison, by the way, it's like, your typical, Native American with a black, basically a bison headdress.
There's a lot of stereotypical things going on there.
But what's funny is the character, with her, they did really good. I thought the adaption was very well done. Mm-hmm. There was a Native American feel to her, but it wasn't on the nose.
Right.
If that makes sense. Chelsea Kurtz is the actress's name. I thought she did a wonderful job. I also, like I said, I thought they adapted the character very well. And that's one of the things, a lot of these characters that, we look at, we really don't know much about them, but if they can captivate us in just a very small portion of time, then I think they did a good job. And I think with this one, again, like I said, they didn't go over the top with any type of, Native American stuff. It was there, it was hinted, but it wasn't like, in your face. And I think that was one of the things that I really liked about this character. And a lot of times, the villain of the week or the meta of the week thing typically is just there to waste time.
Filler.
Yeah. Filler. And I felt like this was a very good character because she was kind of no nonsense. And for Ralph to learn anything, it needed to be a no nonsense character.
Oh yeah,
not she some beating around the bush type character.
She was laser focused in her mission and a tunnel vision as well. So,
yeah, totally agree. I again, very good adaptation of the character, and it made sense for what we were doing with Ralph and that superhero 101-ing. So, with that, guys, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about more into Barry, Ralph, and one of my favorites of the episode, the Council of Wells. But first, a quick break.
I'm already helping a bunch of idiot do-gooders. Sorry, I'm up to my fuzzy hood and teamwork.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
This is Star Wars from the Butter Tank Exclusive.
That thing's operational.
It gets worse. Kanan's fucking blind.
Yes.
Okay, he's fucking blind. And he's gonna swerve off the road because something that's the Force suddenly pops up in front of the road and he's gonna swerve and fall off his bike. And then they're gonna disappear. And he's like, where'd you go? You're fucking blind! You've never seen them!
I was shaking my head and I'm like, going, wait. Number one, we all know Kanan is physically blind. He sees things through the Force.
They needed Hera to get captured. They needed Kanan not to interfere. So how do we make sure Kanan can't get to Hera?
Well, I got an idea, boss. I say we just have him suddenly fall off his hover bike.
He can't see, though.
It's all right. The audience won't think about it. I say we go ahead and write it and print up the script and produce it as is.
That's a fucking horrible idea. Come on, Stephen Melching. Think better.
I think we should ask Dave Filoni.
Dave Filoni's taking a shit right now.
That's probably what happened. Him. Right when they were writing the end of the episode, Dave Filoni was probably dropping a deuce and was indisposed. He couldn't be asked these questions. And I've never witnessed such shit writing in my life for Star Wars Rebels and in my life. And I mean the last 4 years. See, yeah. I'm getting very trolly as well.
Well, it was very lazy. As funny as it sounds, you could have just said Kanan couldn't get there in time.
Hey, Steven, why would you write that Kanan suddenly saw the Lothal Wolf and he fell off? I don't understand. I wrote this entire episode. The opening 15 minutes is gold. I'm Dave Filoni right now. The opening 15 minutes was gold, Steve. Hera going up against Thrawn. It was amazing. I'm God. I'm awesome. I'm almost like George Lucas. And then I go take a shit. I come back. And you have Kanan falling off his goddamn bike because he suddenly can see something when the man is blind. You're fucking fired, Steve. Get out of here.
Throws his cowboy hat across the room.
I'm gonna fucking kill you with my fur.
From thebattheting.com for more details. And get ready for an excitingly good time. Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Back to Tank. That is to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
USAopoly, that's the company behind your favorite top quality custom board games made with brands you love. They're your source for authentic and hot pop culture board games and puzzles. They'll also create award-winning tabletop experiences that will keep your game nights fully entertained with laughter and shareable memories. The brands include Game of Thrones, Rick and Morty, a personal favorite of mine, Star Trek, The Walking Dead, and hundreds of more. Be sure to check out their list of games by heading to USAopoly.com. That's USAOPOLY.com.
Have you played that Rick and Morty game?
No, but I want to really bad, dude.
We have it.
You have? Is it awesome?
Nicole and I played it one time ourselves and while we were camping. It could be fun in a large group, and especially with drinking. I'm sure it's a blast.
Dude, drinking sounds amazing. Plus, it's Rick and Morty. That means I could burp like Rick and just totally get away with it.
Yeah, you're trying to find parasites.
Oh,
so,
God.
Like, you have all these cards of all the characters, and you've got to figure out which one's the parasite and not kill the real character. You're trying to kill the parasite.
Is Mr. Poopy Butthole one of them?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at AdamandEve.com.
Well, I'm not plotting to kill Barry Allen. I'm listening to Ryan Denton on Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, guys. So now we are back in this second segment here. We're going to go over, like I said, Barry, Ralph, and my personal favorite, the Council of Wells. So let's go ahead and talk into some of the fight scenes. And honestly, these fight scenes turn out to be pretty good learning moments for Ralph. The original run-in with Mina right off the bat was the first time we see, you know, Ralph kind of in action.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I did want to point out about this episode was the visual effects shots with him stretching. I was very apprehensive to, you know, they nailed them with the first iteration of him, you know, like his introduction. And I was really like, okay, how are they going to do this over and over and over again and make it seem legitimate
and not just get repetitive
And I thought they did a really, really good job, of these visual effects scenes, even with, you know, him reaching under the car and holding onto it. Like, that shot looked really, really good.
And you can't repeat the same shtick every single episode. They got to come up with new, creative, and interesting ways
right.
for them to use that ability in different, unique ways, or else it's going to get stale really quickly.
And I think, and that's the thing, dude. Like, you know, that what was the first time he interacts with her was, it was in the police precinct, was it not? It was where he lets her go. No, it was the suit of armor. The suit of armor.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. They interact with her like 3 times, and I'm trying to remember the first one. But That was a cool shot too. I really like the character being able to bring inanimate objects out to life.
And every time she got an opportunity to bring a costumed something to life, she did.
She did. I mean, if you really think about having those powers, it makes sense. And one of the things that, again, we see in these scenes where they, and even everyone, is that Barry chooses to save people instead of stopping the bad guy. And Barry sees the bigger picture here. Barry sees that, hey, I'm going to get another chance at stopping this person. Mm-hmm. But if I let too many people, die or whatever, it's at the end of the day, man, like, that's not good. You know, you can't let civilians and people in the city die.
Yeah, it was cool how he phased into that suit of armor too, and then phased destroyed it.
Yeah, that was cool. A badass scene. The dude, anytime they do the phasing stuff with him, is really cool. One of the things that really kind of threw me off here though is like just how much Ralph couldn't understand that Barry wanted to save people. And that was one of the weirdest things about this episode for me, was just like he couldn't understand why Barry chose to save people instead of taking down the bad guy.
You let her get away.
Like, it was really, I mean, if I'm going to talk about the one thing I didn't like about this episode, it was that. It's like, man, at the end of the day, dude, like, you got to look at this as like, these people's lives mean more than this one bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, we can stop this bad guy.
Well, he could have just as easily stretched his long ass arm out there and grabbed her, and he didn't do anything. So,
that was the one thing about the episode I didn't like. And the reason being is that, like, this would not be an issue for me. Like, I truly don't think that I would be like, yeah, man, I can't believe you saved all those innocent bystanders instead of stopping the bad guy. You saved all those people's lives. What the fuck?
You're not the you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs kind of guy.
I mean, dude, at the end of the day, I'm 50-50. I mean, like, sacrifice one to save a million. Sure. But typically, if I'm going to sacrifice one, it's going to be myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I understand what a superhero is supposed to do. When we look at Oliver, it's a different question. Dude, he's a vigilante.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely different motive. He's not a superhero, at least in the Arrowverse, which,
mm-hmm.
Well, that's a whole nother argument we could talk about. But with Barry is a superhero. Mm-hmm. Okay. His first goal is to save people. His second goal is to stop bad guys. And you see that here. And I just don't see this being an issue for me. I don't see this being a problem, especially for the Flash. If this was like Batman, it's a different story. Batman would just, he'd save the people and somehow stop.
And he's not fast as shit either. Yeah.
So it's weird, man. I think they've done a really good job of differentiating the Flash from the other characters that are in the Arrowverse.
He's got humanity.
Yes. So again, I just don't think this would be, a big deal. And yes, I'm sure there are moments where sacrificing one person is totally worth it, but not in a small endeavor like this. You know what I mean? Like, this is in the scheme of things that we've seen in these seasons of Flash, this is not a, I'm going to sacrifice one person.
No.
Type thing.
No, there'd be something more grandiose.
To be completely honest, what did Barry do when he had to sacrifice one person? He left his happy ass into the Speed Force himself. So again, it's not one of those times. And I think that, Ralph being really pissed off about it really kind of bummed me out, if that makes sense, And we see that mentality literally come back to haunt him.
Yeah.
His inability to care for people, over basically capturing the bad guy, it literally comes back to haunt him. He chooses in the second encounter, he chooses to try to stop Mina. And he literally almost gets a child killed. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, talk about eye opening. Oh man, I almost got the bad guy. Yeah, but that child is almost died.
Right.
So at the end of the day, like,
he had to see one situation and learn from it. Again, he could have listened to Barry. He could learn from Barry, but you got to fall down on your own.
You learn by failing.
Yeah.
It's the age-old saying, man, where you learn from failure.
Yeah, how many times did your dad tell you not to do some stupid bullshit and you did it anyway?
Oh, dude, all the time, man. And the thing is, like, but when you get that and then you learn the lesson and you go, fuck, I'm not doing that again. And we see that with him. you know. But here's the thing that I was kind of curious about is how much of that at one point should Barry let slide until he shuts him down? Like, that's the kicker.
You know, I see that as an Oliver trait more than a Barry trait. I mean, we've seen Oliver do that with people on Arrow. But again, Ollie's also allowed people to fall, too, because he knows, like, sometimes lessons just have to be learned by oneself.
Right. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean...
And Barry can't point too many fingers, man.
No, he's fucked up a lot of shit. I mean, let's be honest. How many times has he fucked the timeline up?
Yeah.
I think what was really awesome about this episode, though, is that we actually see him learn a lesson.
Yeah.
You know, his guilt takes over, and we see him visiting the girl in the hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, that was really awesome. Some good character development there. He learned a lesson, and it seems like, you know, it made sense.
What didn't make sense was that Baluna animal he made.
Can we talk about that? Okay. So first of all, one.
Scary as shit.
Yeah. First of all, one, that was really creepy and scary. Two, I didn't even know that he could make balloon animals. Three, he's just going to show his powers off.
You know?
Like, bro.
Look what I can do.
Yeah. Look what I can do. Superhero 101, dude. Like.
Keep that secret. Keep it safe.
Like, dude, yeah, you can't give away your identity, bro. Like,
she probably just thought he was some weirdo.
She's like, dude, what the fuck is going on with this? She starts hitting the nurse bell. Bing, bing,
that's
bing,
what I'd be
bing,
doing.
Bing, bing, bing. Like, what the fuck? That guy just turned his hands into a fucking.
It looked weird. Bunny rabbit. It was like, I mean, the CGI was so, but it just looked weird.
I think it was just weird. Yeah.
Even if it was 100% perfect CGI, well, it's still a very weird thing to do.
My place went to some really fucked up. When she's like, make a giraffe, and he goes down. Like,
I think that was what they were going for. But kind of weird.
I'm like, that's bad, man. That was bad.
I don't know what you're gonna do with toes. Is gonna make it more giraffe like.
I mean.
And you can take your toes off and put them somewhere. Like,
it was just weird, dude. It was just weird.
Bizarre. And if you notice at the end of the little balloon dog or whatever the hell it was, it had like this little, you know, like the balloon knot that a balloon would have.
How
like on its
note.
Is it his belly button?
Oh, no, it's his hands.
We don't know, man. If he could take toes off and stick them somewhere else, can he?
That's terrible. Fuck. I just, that scene was a little weird for me, just the whole showing your powers to, and that's, dude, I've had a gripe about that since day one on these shows where it's like, you've got two characters walking in the middle of the open talking about like shit. And it's like, dude, someone could overhear you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I always like have such a weird problem about like them showing off their powers or like, you know, hey, I'm going to take my, you know, my hood off and show everybody who I am for like the 397th time, you know? So it's like, dude, when does it end when you like on these shows? But I mean, this one made sense. I mean, the kid's probably not going to say anything, you know?
Probably not.
Other than being scarred for life.
She'll hit that opium. She'll just hit that opium drip or morphine drip and she'll forget about it.
She's
anyway.
Like, I don't even know what happened. let's talk about the final fight scene. I actually really dug this scene.
Dude, there was like 1,000 Jurassic Park references.
It was amazing.
It was
dude.
Amazing.
I love Jurassic Park. So all those references were like, we've got a T-Rex. I was like, yeah, oh my God.
I know. I got shit. As soon as he said, I was like, are they? And like everything that they did just kept throwing in those
it's
little
visions
nuggets.
Based on movement. Like, right. Dude, everything about that scene was awesome. And the CG. Dude,
it was good.
The effect of the Tyrannosaurus Rex was fantastic looking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the part where he stretches around the T-Rex's mouth.
Yeah.
Really good looking, dude. Like, I had no problems other than the balloon animal hands. And that even really wasn't that bad looking. Again, this is a very good, solid episode. I loved that fight scene at the end.
It was the whole scene with them in that museum and that T-Rex. I mean, there was a lot about that was very movie quality.
It was very in the production of it
and everything.
I also liked the fact that we, you know, and again, the standard, you know, Ralph learned a lesson, but he saves the janitor.
Yep.
And he learned his lesson like, hey, my job here is to save people, not. You know, and one of the things that needed to be understood is that you're working with the Flash. One of you saves the people and the other one goes after the bad guy. Isn't that kind of how it works?
Mm-hmm.
So again, they did a really good job of that in this fight scene. I thought it looked fantastic. And that T-Rex, man, anytime a T-Rex is on screen is pretty awesome. One of the things I really liked was Ralph's decision to send the necklace back to, you know, its people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get that joke in the museum, you know, it belongs in a museum, you know, Indiana Jones.
Again, a good reference.
Great reference. And it's like, wait, we are in a museum. Oh, but that was a very big character development for him. You know, you see him do something that's very selfless. You see him do something that, you know, typically I wouldn't even have thought about doing.
Well, selfless, particularly given the fact that everything prior to leading up to this has been very selfish. His whole PI thing, I mean, yeah, he was down on his luck, if you want to call it that, from losing his job. But he was doing some pretty shady stuff. And very,
shady.
Very self-serving stuff. He didn't really give a shit about anything that he was doing. He just wanted that paycheck and at any cost would get it. So to see him do this is a huge change.
It was huge. Like, it was a huge change in his character and who he was as a character. So I did really like that. I thought that was very cool for them to throw that in there and to write that into the characters to make him kind of seems like he's almost doing a 180
In one episode too.
Which is good, because sometimes, dude, like, they'll drag that shit out, man, and it makes me just want to throw something against the wall.
And, well, I'm sure he'll screw up, make mistakes down the road, and he'll have to realize, like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have done that thing that I just did. But for him to really have that arc
he's
compressed,
gotta learn, right?
Yeah. I was glad that they compressed it and didn't have, like you said, drawn out, like, 5-6 episodes.
I think it's just, dude, it's one of those things about these shows is that if some things deserve to be drawn out and some things don't.
Or in this case, stretched out. We don't want to.
Oh, God, that's terrible. So bad. But yeah, I'm glad they kind of are moving it along quicker than, you know, other things they've done on the show. Yeah. All right. The last thing we're going to talk about here is basically the rest of the team, is working to find DeVoe. And this is pretty cool.
Belle Biv DeVoe?
DeVoe. Yes. No, they've done a really good job of keeping us on our toes so far with this character, you know, the bad guy. Not to mention, you know, Barry's got a head start on the character. And I think that's one of the things that we always have, like, you know, you've got that reveal or like, oh, who is this person? You know, he's had the same thing with Zoom, with Reverse Flash, with Savitar. Like, we didn't know. But
they're piecing it together a lot quicker.
A lot quicker. And I think that what that's going to do is lead us into some really solid fucking episodes at the end of the season. Like, I think, you know, the last 4 episodes are going to be legit.
Like, well, we still got how many freaking metas tons to go through?
We've at least
8 or 9.
No. 8.
8.
Because Dibney counted as one. So you had Kilgore, Hazard, Dibney counts as one. What was the tier guy?
Oh yeah.
So 8.
Yeah.
Oh no. Well, I guess you can count Black Bison.
Yeah.
So 7.
7. Okay.
So we've got 7 more metas to go through. But they've done a really good job of keeping us on our toes with this bad guy.
I mean, we're not counting Aminet, or she? No.
She didn't count. She wasn't on the bus.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Council of Wells. Let me just say this, dude. Like, first of all, you guys know it. The listeners know it. Dude, we blow Tom Cavanaugh all the fucking time on here.
He's dynamic.
He is by far one of the best actors in the entire Arrowverse. Did I like this scene? I absolutely love this scene. And I think they really listen to the listeners, dude, or the, you know, the viewers, because we always talk about how awesome he is, and he can play 17 different versions of himself and every time nail it.
Yeah, and when he was off for a while, everybody was wanting him back. I mean, we wanted him back. Now he's back, and now we got like 10 of him at once.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, dude. That scene was just really well done. The interactions with Sisko in the multiple different versions of Wells.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, the German Wells was fucking amazing, dude. Hilarious. I don't remember the one Playboy, the Playboy Wells was fantastic. And then the Mad Max Wells.
The Mad Max one, let's just stop right there for a second. So you being a costume person, myself being a costume person.
Keep going.
What'd you think about the costume?
I think it was fine except for the face.
To me it felt budget. Like budget. We blew our budget on all the other eye candy, and so we've got $19 to go and put this together.
It looked very rushed. I think, you know, if they were going to do a cyborg type character, and they could have just done it where you know, they could have CG'd his eye. You know, just CG'd that he had a metal, like, you know, a weird eye. And then, you know, they could have gave him a metal arm. It did look very rushed.
The vest that he was wearing, if we want to call it that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously we can nitpick, but him playing the character was good too as well.
Yeah. I think he played it well. It's just, it was an odd take for how they played up the costume. I would have liked to have seen it worn and weathered. If he's in a post-apocalyptic, alternate Earth, you would think that he'd be a little beat to hell. And I mean, he's eating a rat, right? He was eating a rat.
That was so gross, dude. But no, I think the interaction too with Cisco, the thing is, dude, Tom Cavanaugh and I always forget Cisco's name, son of a bitch. They both have a really awesome chemistry on screen. And it's funny to see the multiple versions of Wells interact with Cisco. I really enjoyed that.
I like how they made all the reference about him having a Cisco, or, you know.
Yeah, I had a Cisco on my world, you know.
And he ate him.
He tasted, or he said, like, he tasted great or something. Again, awesome scene. Probably one of the best scenes in the whole episode. Again, Tom Cavanaugh is just unreal, dude. I can't, every time, man, you just can't shit, you know? So let's talk about DeVoe a little bit. They basically find DeVoe.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be completely honest here. I did not see this coming. I did not see them finding the bad guy this fast.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've never really gotten it in a season, like finding the big bad that fast.
But this guy, I mean, he's like a chess master, man.
He's an absolute chess master.
And he's playing both sides of the board, almost leading them to him is the way I feel. It's like he's setting it all up purposefully, and he's a game master.
Yeah. You know, it was weird, dude. Like, I thought for sure, like, oh man, they're going to go to the house. But then you see the house and it's like this, like, you know, house, like, from the suburbs.
Yeah, it's like Joe's house.
Yeah. And you get Barry and Joe basically going to confront, you know, the thinker and his wife, the mechanic, which I didn't know that was her name. But dude, they open the door and it's just like, okay. What the hell?
Yeah. What do you want with my paraplegic husband?
Dude, like, oh man, can you imagine how low you would feel? Like, oh God, yeah. I feel so bad.
Way to go, assholes.
Yeah, way to go. My husband needs to have ramps to get in and out of buildings.
I thought you were a detective, Joe.
God, that was...
Wait, did they have a ramp on the stairs?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Yeah, see?
Plot hole.
Plot hole, and the plot thickens. I just, that whole scene, dude, first of all, like, how did he know that Barry was going to find them?
He knows, man. He's the thinker for a reason.
Well,
he was calculating like 7,000 variations of their argument. Wouldn't that be great if you could do that with your wife or your girlfriend? Holy shit.
Oh my God.
I mean, you can kind of do it, but you only usually do like 3 or 4 scenarios. But if you could do 7,000 and something, man.
Well, one of the things that Bobby poses in these notes is are they from the future? You know, could they be?
Why don't they give the legends a ring and ask them?
Dude. Well, the guy, so the, what was the guy's name? The magician? He hinted that DeVoe was his greatest enemy, and that guy was from the future. One of his greatest foes or whatever. Mm-hmm. So again, man, this whole scene was very interesting because I really didn't like, I thought, oh, we know who, you know, Clifford DeVoe, we know who it is. And I'm like, oh, cool, next episode. And they're like, no, we're going now. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, you know, with the last 5 minutes left in the episode, I'm like, damn, okay.
So if he is, what the hell does he want from Barry?
Dude, what does any of these bad guys want from Barry?
I'd turn him into a human battery.
Just turn Barry into, like, on a treadmill?
Yeah.
He's like your nuclear power
plant.
Make
him power my head, because that guy needs a lot of power.
Dude, yeah. First of all, how does he, like, change from that shit on his head to Because that looks like it's like stuck into his forehead.
Maybe that colander thing that he's got going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, whatever that thing is. And then now like he comes rolling out like fucking Stephen Hawking. And
with Eddie Vedder here, if I remember right.
Yeah. I was like, damn, dude, what is this, Pearl Jam?
Yeah, crazy hairdo. And
I don't know, man. I think we're in for a real good treat here for this second half, like this season, because we've got all these questions and we're only not even halfway through the season.
Yeah, and this is like left turn central, so now what?
You know, I don't know, man. I don't know where we go from this. I really, really don't. I think for them to find the bad guy this fast is just mind-boggling, to be completely honest. Shit, dude. I have no idea.
They do a good job of keeping you like you think the roads are going to converge, and then nope.
Well, they
converge, but
they've done a really good job this season already, just basically keeping us on our toes and saying, mm-hmm. you know, hey, guess what? You know, this isn't going to be a typical Flash season, you know, where, oh, there's a speedster. Oh, we've got to, you know, Barry's got to run faster. Dude, it don't matter how fucking fast Barry runs. This is a completely different bad guy.
Yeah, he knows all 15,000 places you're planning on running to.
Yeah, he knows. And I think that's the thing, man. They've done a really good job. I have no idea where we're going, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I like that. But no, I really do dig it with this episode. So with that, let's jump into our final thoughts. Steve, I'll let you go first.
I really enjoyed it. You know, I agree with you. Tom Cavanaugh can act his ass off, and seeing all the different versions that he can play and all the he's just such a dynamic actor. And I enjoyed him all the way back from Scrubs. He's just good. And I appreciate that. Not all the versions of him hit for me, but I appreciate his abilities and the chemistry, like you said, with him and Cisco is awesome. And just the whole character arc that we had with Ralph. I'm really enjoying the dynamic between Ralph and Barry, and it's really cool. Still curious to see where we're going with this thinker guy, but you know, for me, this will be the episode that you remember two things. We got a T-Rex and we got some fucked up balloon hand.
You know, I agree, man. I think one of the things I really dug about this episode was there was quite a bit of visual effects used in this episode, but they did a great job with them. And I think, you know, I'll be excited when actually Dibny gets a real costume. You know, Cisco's going to make him some swaggy looking costume. I mean, that's what Cisco does.
It was funny how he had like that whole tarp thing and then just kept wadding it up. And then it to him, and then it just becomes this little itty bitty
little baby thing. Other than that, man, I thought the meta of the week was really well done. She made sense for the story. It was very, very good. I loved that this was more centric to Ralph than anyone else on the team, which was cool. I was okay with that. Again, I mean, I said it earlier, but Tom Cavanaugh is fucking amazing, and he can play 50. I don't care. He can play 50 versions of himself. 52 versions of himself, and I would be okay with it. But, man, this just a really solid episode. For this being really, to be completely honest, a filler episode, you know, with only the last 10 minutes of the episode really meaning anything to the main story arc, this was really well done.
It was a good filler.
It was a good filler episode. And guys, when we use the word filler, we don't mean that in a bad way. So again, I really dug this episode. I said it, you know, before I said, man, I don't know where we're going, but I truly like not knowing. I think this is really
and not having a speedster. As much as I love the speedster versus speedster story arcs, having something a little bit different, a little bit change of pace, is cool. I mean, we've had that before, right? We had the Killer Shark, and we had
but they weren't the main villain.
They were kind of the quote unquote meta of the week, more or less. But this is really cool that we're getting something completely different.
Yeah, I'm stoked to see where we go for sure. All right, guys, with that, that's going to do it for today's DC on CW, the Flash edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man digital app. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, and Instagram DC_on_CW. With that, guys, we will see you next week.
Not in the mood for chit chat. Gotcha. Ready when you are.